And thank you to Sarah and to Zion for inviting me to this role this morning. Christ is himself, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What a comforting verse of scripture. So much reassurance in a statement like that. There's just one problem. Do we really believe that it's true? That Christ is holding all things together? And if so, how do we understand that? What does that really mean? What does that look like? Because most of us, instead of looking around and seeing how all things are being held together, we look around and it feels like everything is being blown apart. Like everything's coming apart at the seams. Certainly our nation doesn't seem to be held together. We have so much conflict. I don't know, this feels like this might be the most divided our nation has been since the Civil War. I'm not a historian. I'm sure there are other times of major division. But it sure seems like our nation is closer to being blown apart than it is to holding together. When the liberals and conservatives can't even agree on what is true, let alone how we should approach things, when the blaming and animosity and contempt and seemingly downright hatred for those on the other side of the aisle just seems to get worse and worse by day, no, it doesn't seem like our nation is being held together. And yet our text says that in him all things hold together. And frankly, it doesn't even feel like the church is being held together. And you'd think if Christ was holding all things together, surely he would hold the church together. But look at our denomination. In 2001, we had 950 congregations and over 110,000 members, and now we have 530 congregations and 50,000 members. Half of our denomination has left. A church here and a church there and a whole conference here and conference there. It doesn't feel like it's being held together. Or think about Virginia Mennonite Conference. And probably when we think about the church, the place we think about most significantly is the local congregation. That's probably the hardest to see things coming apart. And yet we've seen that as well. I only know bits and pieces of your story here at Zion, but I know it's not all been smooth and harmonious and singing kumbaya with one another around the campfire. But I do know more than what I know about Zion. I know the churches that I've pastored, and I know the challenges and the conflicts that have pulled people away, that have made it feel like those congregations were coming apart at the seams. And yet Paul has the audacity to write that Christ is before all things and that in him all things hold together. It's enough to make a person wonder, what exactly is Paul referring to by all things? And that's not the only challenging statement in this passage. Another verse that really grabbed my attention as I was studying is the verse just before that, in verse 16. There it writes that in him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. What does that verse mean in our current political situation? Are all of the politicians, all of the leaders of our nation, are those rulers all put in place by Christ and for Christ? Or on a broader scale, are the leaders in Gaza and in Israel put in place by Christ and for Christ? The leaders in Ukraine and in Russia? What does that verse mean? And maybe a bigger question related to that verse is, what does that verse mean in relation to the way the rest of Scripture views rulers and authorities and powers? Because most places in Scripture, they're not viewed with a lot of respect. And the book of Revelation, it becomes clear that the rulers and powers and authorities are all the tools of Satan. And maybe the verse that makes it most clear in a little succinct piece is Ephesians 6:12, where it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So how do we hold these verses together? If our struggle is against the rulers, powers, and authorities, then what does it mean that the rulers, powers, and authorities were created through Christ and for Christ? Does this verse, this passage in Colossians mean that we could ignore the challenges of our nation and decide that, well, if Christ has put our rulers in place and it's and they're in place for Christ, that whatever they do is just great? Or that we could ignore issues of justice and truth and accountability for our leaders, ignore the challenges of racism and immigration and homelessness, that we can simply let them rule however they're going to rule because, after all, they were put in place by God, right? No. Surely it can't mean that. I think the same questions could be asked with regard to the verse I was looking at to begin with, about Christ holding all things together. Does that mean that when churches start to splinter, that we can say, well, that's not really our concern? Christ is the one who holds us together, so we'll let Christ worry about that. Where's the disconnect? Because I'm pretty sure that's not how we should apply these verses. So what is Paul really trying to say here in Colossians 1? How does that fit with the rest of Scripture? And I wrestled with those questions as I began studying this passage this week. And it seems to me that the likely shift that we need to make in how we view this passage is a shift in perspective. I would propose that our perspective on life is much of the time much too small. But at the same time, sometimes our perspective on life is not small enough. So what do I mean by that? Well, Paul was hinting at it in the call to worship this morning. So what is the context? When you read a passage of Scripture and you think about applying it to our life and situation, what's the context we normally think about first? We normally think about it in terms of applying it to the specifics of my own life. How do I decide? Should I take this job or that job? Choose this career or that career? The context of my relationships and my finances, and do I go to this college or that college or trade school? All those kinds of very personal questions we think about. And the second context we often think about is my society, my congregation, my community, my town, my school, my nation. And I want to be clear that it's incredibly important to think about how Scripture applies in these contexts, how Scripture impacts our daily life in our personal decisions and in our community. In fact, that's one of the things I most appreciate about Mennonites, is our commitment to applying specific scripture texts in the context of our daily lives. But these are not the contexts that are the focus for every single passage of scripture. And I would argue that that is not the context Paul is speaking of in these verses here in Colossians 1. To understand Colossians 1, we need to realize that Paul is looking at things from a cosmic perspective. What do I mean by that? Well, this brief text is really an overview of the history of the world from the perspective of the whole universe. This text summarizes the whole salvation story from creation. It talks about Christ being there at the creation of the world, and it's from creation to our break from God and our alienation from God and through salvation. The whole thing is discussed in this brief passage. Paul is only 23 verses into his letter when he says this is the gospel. 23 verses in, and he's used 12 of those verses for an introduction and greetings and prayer. So really, he's used 12 verses, and he's summarized the whole gospel message. He writes in verse 23, this is the gospel, summarizing what he said so far. Paul is taking the most wide-angle view possible, looking at the gospel story from the cosmic perspective. And when you think about it in those terms, Christ is holding all things together. The whole of the story, the whole arc of human history is shaped by Christ and is being shaped by Christ and is being held together by Christ. Seeing things from a different perspective makes all the difference. Parents will get that. Imagine if you've got a 13-year-old. Apologies to any 13-year-olds who are here. But if you're 13-year-old, you refuse to get them a cell phone, and how are they going to respond? You've ruined my whole life. And to that person, it feels like it. It feels like everything is coming apart and like their whole life is ruined. But is their whole life ruined because they don't have a cell phone? No. You know better. You see things from a different perspective. You can see what their life will be like. You can imagine it 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road. And you can have that perspective that they can't have. I suspect that that's a bit what God must feel like when we complain that everything is falling apart. I lost my job. That's the end of the world. There's conflict in my church, God. Everything is coming apart at the seams. The political situation in our nation is a disaster. Everything is falling apart, God. And God, with the perspective of a healthy parent, from the perspective of the whole of human history, God looks at the world and says, no, everything is not falling apart. In fact, my son, Jesus Christ, is holding all things together. Yes, maybe a specific congregation, things are falling apart. Maybe even in a denomination, it feels like things are coming apart. But Christ is still the head of his body, the church, church with a capital C. And not even the gates of hell will stand against that. The church is being held together, regardless what may happen in this denomination or in this congregation. Christ is still holding the church together. God looks at things from his perspective and says, maybe your nation is falling apart, which to us would feel like a pretty big deal. God looks at that and says, you know what? Nations come and go. Every great empire has fallen. The United States will likely be no different from any other. But don't lose hope. For whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created in Christ and for Christ. All things are being held together and shaped by the life and incredible power of my Son, Jesus Christ. So yes, sometimes it feels like everything is falling apart, like hope is lost. When it does, we need to step back and look at things from a cosmic perspective, from the perspective of eternity, the perspective of God sitting above it all, and realize that Christ is holding things together. Now, a few minutes ago, I said that our perspective on life is on one hand too small, and at the same time is not small enough. So in what ways is our perspective not small enough? Well, I believe that in this passage, Paul is not only asking us to see things from a cosmic perspective, he is also inviting us to look deep within ourselves, at what is happening within our own hearts, at what the Holy Spirit is doing that is completely removed from the circumstances of our life and our society. Towards the end of this passage, Paul speaks of a great mystery. He says, a mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. And surprisingly, this great mystery that he's speaking of is not that Christ was the Messiah, is not even that the Messiah would have to suffer, which was a shock to everyone, or that the Messiah would rise from the dead, which was, again, a mystery and a shock to everyone. That's not the mystery he's speaking of here. Paul writes about this mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to God's people. And then he says, this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes we need to take our eyes off of all the circumstances around us and the things that are going wrong and realize that Christ is within us, each of us. Christ is in each and every one of you, within each of us. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of Jesus alive and active within all of us who are people of faith. And if Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is alive and active within each of us, then despite anything going on in the world around us, as Julian of Norwich put it so beautifully, all shall be well. And all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him, all things were created. Things on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. May it be so. And may these words of Paul put our minds and our spirits at ease, knowing that God is still on the throne, that Christ is holding all things together, and that the Holy Spirit is alive within each of you. And that is the hope of glory. Amen.